You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
A recent study found that South African banks are incurring around 3 million rands a year on declines that affect card transactions beyond their control. We're going to take a look at this in a bit more detail and see if we can make sense of it with our resident banking specialist executive at Denker Capital. Kokkie Koemani joins me on the line now to see what we make of this. Kokkie, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's hard to believe that the banks could incur such significant losses on transactions where they have very little control.
Yeah, look, it's obviously a calculated number, and they do it on a few estimates. But essentially, it's what the report does, and it looked at quite a few countries, mostly emerging market countries and Europe, and it found that the card transactions that are declined by banks, and we can come into the reasons of why that happens, potentially loses them revenue, as a client might be using card A from bank A, the transactions declined, and then the client switches to card B from bank B. And so bank A loses that transaction. And that amount is estimated to be about 3 million rand. Interesting, in Europe, that amount is significantly lower, but we can come back to that later. But the main thing is that the card transactions are lost only if, obviously, the client does switch to another bank for that transaction, or worse, permanently switches to another bank.
Now, Kokkie, 3 million in the scheme of how much it is that our banks are generating in revenues doesn't seem like a lot. But when you start to look at that amount as just potentially one line item that the banks are exposed to here, it could speak to a significant problem if we're looking at the rate at which, or if we're looking at the percentage at which the banks are charged for these transactions. When we look at the interbank or the interbank exchanges that take place here, where does South Africa sit compared to other global banks?
Yeah, we actually feel expensive. And funny enough, in this case, it's not the banks. I know, Revolut and guys like that and Wise are coming in and trying to cut that. And the banks, I think, have made fairly good margins on international card transactions. But the main culprit is actually really MasterCard and Visa, who set a very high interchange fee. And interesting why, for instance, in Europe, the interchange fees are so much lower than here, because in those countries, the regulators have capped MasterCard and Visa to very low percentages, 0.2 or 0.3. Interesting, US, Canada is also fairly high, 1.75%. But in South Africa, it's even higher than that because of the MasterCard Visa interchange fee, as I said, but also because of the volatility of the currency. So the banks have to protect themselves against volatility of the currency. Well, so they say. And I suppose it makes sense. If you're doing a transaction between South Africa and the UK, or South Africa and US, and the rand plays a part, then that the potential loss to a bank of the currency suddenly moving is a lot bigger, and the risk of that is bigger than, let's say, if you're doing a transaction between the Netherlands and France, where there is no currency at play, or the Netherlands and the UK, where the pound and the euro more or less move in tandem. So the banks protect themselves against the currency potential loss as well. And just by the way, what is interesting, more and more banks have started offering clients a card, especially for when you travel, with multiple pockets. In other words, you can have a euro pocket, you can have a pound pocket, you can have a dollar pocket. So when you travel and you land in London, you can move money from your euro pocket or your rand pocket to pound. And from while you're in London, you do all your payments from that pound pocket. So you actually pay in local currency, reducing the fees. But I think the more important question is, and I'm sure you're going to ask me that, is, you know, are the banks, are the systems good enough? And why do these declines happen? I've been asking around a bit, and even people I know, the most card declines often happen when you are in an area where there is poor reception and the response time is too slow. Or sometimes because the banks use all kinds of algorithms or behavioral analytics, as they call it, where there's a pattern that the computer picks up. Now, remember, the computers get thrown millions of transactions almost per minute. And so the computer is trying to scan all these transactions and immediately picks up a pattern that says, yes, so this looks suspect. Rather be safe than sorry. And they block it. Now, fraud relative to card decline transactions, I think the ratio is about 700 to 1. So, you know, the risk of fraud is much bigger to the banks than losing that particular transaction if it is a fraud.
Well, Mkoki, can we take a look at the card issuing companies themselves? You touched on Visa and MasterCard, and I think they play a role in this as well. You mentioned their rates in the US, and I can imagine, given that both companies are US listed and US founded companies, that would be a separate conversation. But globally speaking, there aren't a lot of card issuing companies, and I suppose this also then limits from a transaction fee perspective, what rates are charged outside of those regulatory interventions that you mentioned earlier?
Totally. You hit it on the nail, because effectively Visa and MasterCard have what we call a duopoly, like a monopoly between two players. And there's been a lot of attacks on them in the US in trying to break that. But look, having those international rails, as they call it. You think of a railway line with a train, and, you know, you've got those rails that the train can run on. So, you know, those rails that allow you to transact wherever you are in the world. You can go to Argentina, or you can go to Mongolia, and you can present your card, and the merchant in the US or the product provider or whatever, between whatever part in the world, the other part in the world, gets accepted and gets paid. And so Visa and MasterCard have obviously spent a lot of money over the years to build that. And so they are mostly charging too high a fee now to recoup expenses that were incurred long, long ago. It's very interesting why you asked that question as well, because that is where the big threat to them now is coming from: blockchain and tokens and stable coins, where, you know, your whole move towards not needing a bank or not needing a Visa or MasterCard to move money offshore. Your problem is always, if you do use MasterCard, Visa or bank, if something goes wrong, you've got someone to phone. As soon as you use blockchain or crypto, you know, you haven't got anybody to phone. And that's why it will take so quite a while. But you're quite right. Visa and MasterCard, in the countries where their fees are not kept, the fees are fairly high.
Mkoki, before I let you go, I want to take a look at South Africa dealing with these particular risks. I mean, we've got organizations like the South African Banking Risk Information Center. We've obviously got the South African Reserve Bank that looks at these sorts of transactions. We've got the Payments Association of South Africa. We've got a lot of financial services bodies and parties that are able to potentially provide some form of solutions or some form of interventions here around how it is that we deal with these transactions. Thankfully, I suppose at the moment, the banks aren't too eager to pass on these costs to consumers. Where they can, they do absorb them. Where consumers are able to take on some of their charge, the consumer does take on their charge. But how do we look at this particular problem from a South African perspective, understanding that as an emerging market, we are still subject to the likes of the duopoly that you mentioned?
Yeah, there's a lot happening, and the Reserve Bank is actually very proactive in a lot of changes that they're trying to bring about. One of them is to move towards a cashless society. That'll take quite a while. But, you know, so that means more card transactions, and even then it means more debit card. And by the way, debit card interchange fees are obviously lower than credit card interchange fees because the risk is lower. Credit card, you've got a fraud risk, a bad debt risk. I think the important thing in South Africa as well is that we are a smaller country, so the number of transactions are smaller. That means your infrastructure is more expensive. But you are finding more and more players coming into the market. And also where the Reserve Bank's playing a role is in the local market and in SADC countries to use PayShap, which they're wanting the banks to almost do card-to-card transactions or peer-to-peer or consumer-to-consumer payments to be close to free, so as to encourage people to take money, rather use a card than money. But back to your original question on terms of the transactions declined, maybe one important statistic I forgot to mention, it's the South African rate of declines is about 0.5%, according to the report. That means 1 in 200 transactions get declined, which isn't too bad if you consider the risk of fraud that the banks are trying to combat. And again, back to the original problem with where the most expensive part is, it's 59% of frauds are on credit card transactions that have an international leg. So as soon as you either travel internationally, do a payment, or you pay internationally, then the fraud actually picks up dramatically. I suppose the amounts are higher, and that's what makes it more lucrative for your criminals to target those transactions. But so there's a lot happening, and I think the Reserve Bank is doing what it can to, especially on the lower end of the market, reduce card transactions. And I think the competitive market, players like Revolut coming in, when they do, and just inside South Africa, more and more players means that there is more and more pressure on those wider margins to be reduced, and also for the banks to continuously try and be more efficient in what they do.
Identifying efficiencies and making sure that fraud transactions don't continue to cost consumers. We'll have to leave the conversation on that note. Director at Denker Capital, Corky Koyman, joining us to take a look at the fees incurred by banks for fraudulent card transactions.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.